After weeks of skirmishing on the sidelines, the battle over Judge Robert Bork's nomination to the Supreme Court goes into the main arena today. The Senate Judiciary Committee opens hearings at this hour into Bork's fitness to join the High Court. Pennsylvania's Art Inspector, a moderate Republican, is regarded as one of the few swing votes on the committee.
The question is what he'd be on the bench, and many men, women, are different when they become Supreme Court justices, and we really have to hear what he says on the specifics, on the constitutional doctrine, and we also have to evaluate him as a man.
Since the Bork nomination will likely be settled not in committee but on the Senate floor, pressure groups have been working on all 100 members. Deborah Potter reports.
The battle lines have been drawn for months. For liberals like John Buchanan of People for the American Way, Bork is a judicial activist with a right-wing agenda.
His record shows that he would seek to unsettle established constitutional precedents and would imperil individual rights to free speech, freedom of religion, equality before the law.
But Bork supporters, including former colleague Carla Hill, say he's neither an ideologue nor a zealot.
He is conservative in that he believes in judicial restraint. He is a dedicated Democrat in that he believes that Congress should pass the rules that are not found in the Constitution.
Bork's beliefs will be at the center of the debate, not just his judicial philosophy. And both sides are prepared for a tough and partisan fight, knowing what's at stake is the future direction of the nation's highest court. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. Angering some of their conservative allies, President Reagan and his aides have tried to paint Robert Bork as a moderate in the tradition of the man who would replace Justice Lewis Powell. In a speech yesterday, the president again praised Bork as a disciple of judicial restraint.
Laws should govern our country. And if you want them changed, you should convince elected legislatures to change them, not unelected judges.
White House officials concede the Bork fight will be a tough one, but they believe the man's charm, debating skills, and superior intellect will, in the final analysis, win him a seat on the Supreme Court. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
There are reports the FBI background check on Judge Bork turned up two episodes in December of 1983, when Bork was taken to a hospital after falling down at his Washington home. The reports say he had been drinking. We asked committee member Dennis DeConcini, an Arizona Republican, about that.
I have only been told that there is some reference in there that the judge is more than a casual drinker. I don't know whether there's any proof to back that up or not.
Do you think these reports of drinking episodes and of his being more than a casual drinker are fit subjects for these hearings?
Well, certainly if there's evidence there that he is more than a casual drinker, certainly he'll have to explain them. And I'm just in no position to say whether that evidence is sufficient to require for me to ask him.
Could this be a showstopper?
Only if it was a closet case, I would suspect, of alcoholism or substance abuse of some nature that is unknown and comes out during the hearings.
Yesterday, President Reagan appeared to be cautioning senators about raising such personal issues during the hearings.
Destroy someone's reputation and you don't have to talk about what he stands for. Well, I hope that Judge Bork's critics will be candid about why they oppose him and not fabricate excuses for attacking him personally.
Among political activists, feelings continue to run high on Judge Bork.
Yes for the people, no for Bork. Yes for the people, no for Bork.
This anti-Bork rally, led by Democratic presidential candidate Jesse Jackson, was held last night outside the Supreme Court, one of a number of demonstrations both for and against Bork held around the country. Judge Robert Bork is back in the Senate caucus room for a full day of grilling on his controversial nomination to the Supreme Court. Rita Braver reports.
Bork will face the Democratic Lions today. And if yesterday was any test, they'll come out roaring. Committee Chairman Joseph Biden went after Bork for his writings on a Connecticut law that made it a crime for anyone, even married couples, to use birth control. The Supreme Court struck the law down on the grounds it violated the constitutional right to privacy. Bork was critical of that decision.
You said that the right of married couples to have sexual relations without fear of unwanted children is no more worthy of constitutional protection by the courts than the right of public utilities to be free of pollution control laws.
Bork defended his views, saying that the Constitution doesn't give the court the right to overrule local governments when they pass such laws, that if governments can regulate business, they can also regulate some aspects of family life.
I was making the point that where the Constitution does not speak, there's no provision in the Constitution that applies to the case, then a judge may not say, I place a higher value upon a marital relationship than I do upon an economic freedom.
Bork insisted that what he was objecting to was not the idea of a right to privacy, but the rationale used to strike down the law. Rita Braver, CBS News, Washington.
This is Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork's third day before Biden's Judiciary Committee. Deborah Potter is covering.
Bork repeatedly maintained that he no longer believes some of the more controversial opinions he's voiced over the years, retracting his opposition to civil rights laws and his narrow view of free speech. But Democrat Howell Heflin wondered if he's sincere or just trying to win confirmation.
There are those that raise the issue that you're changing of your position and sort of renouncing your positions on certain positions came all at a time when a carrot was in an effect being dangled before your eyes.
There was no reason for me to change my mind except that I changed my mind.
Committee members like Republican Arlen Specter, who say they haven't made up their minds about Bork, were troubled by his testimony.
I think we're in midstream. He and I finished up after 30 or 40 minutes of fairly heavy give and take without having reached a conclusion.
One senator even said Bork's writings are so extreme, it might take a psychiatrist to figure out just what he'd do on the Supreme Court. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork is setting a record of sorts. He's been called back for an unprecedented fifth day of confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Details from CBS News correspondent Deborah Potter.
Even after hearing 4 days of testimony from Bork, some key undecided senators say they still have concerns about just what he stands for, so they'll be back in today with more questions. Specter of Pennsylvania says he's disturbed because Bork keeps saying he's changed his views.
I accept the candor of Judge Bork's answer, but that does not respond or answer the ultimate judgment call as to whether he is predictable.
DeConcini of Arizona says he remains troubled by what he called Bork's far-out approach to some issues.
I'd certainly appreciate his candidness and his brightness and his intelligence, but I certainly am dissatisfied with some of his answers.
It seems unlikely the undecideds will make a final decision until all the arguments are in, and next week they'll get an earful as a parade of interest groups for and against Bork come up here to testify. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
After 35 hours of questioning Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork, the Senate Judiciary Committee today starts hearing from a long line of witnesses, both for and against his confirmation. Leaders of the American Bar Association, though sharply divided on Bork, will bestow on him its highest rating. John Buchanan of People for the American Way is a leader of the anti-Bork movement.
The fact is that when every major battle of civil rights was fought, Judge Bork was on the wrong side.
Several past attorneys general will testify on behalf of Bork, as will Carla Hills, the Ford administration housing secretary, who approves of his decisions as an appellate judge.
They certainly have a sensitivity to equal opportunity for women. I think we have a splendid candidate who can do nothing but good for women in the future.
Four committee members say they're still undecided on Bork's confirmation. The U.S. Supreme Court begins its new term a week from today, and appears that it will be one member short. Robert Bork's Senate confirmation hearings are running into a third week this morning, and his nomination still faces debate in the full Senate, perhaps a filibuster as well. Today, more judges and law school professors will have a chance to say what they think about Judge Bork. When the Supreme Court term opens Monday, one chair will be vacant. There are now growing doubts that Robert Bork will ever sit there. Today, Senator Lloyd Benson of Texas became the fourth Southern Democrat to announce he will vote against confirmation. More from Jacqueline Adams at the White House.
His aides say President Reagan recognizes that he and Robert Bork face an uphill climb in the Senate, but the president, they say, has no intention of backing off and is angry about the way Bork's opponents have disregarded his record as a jurist. Mr. Reagan told reporters last evening he plans to work his head off for Bork.
Frankly, I think it has been a disgraceful situation. I think that the process of confirming a Supreme Court justice has been reduced to political partisanship.
Today, the president will meet one-on-one with the 18 senators his aides consider undecided. They believe that if they can win over half of those senators, Robert Bork will be the next Supreme Court justice. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
Burgeoning problems with getting his Supreme Court nominee confirmed have followed the president to his retreat in the Maryland mountains, as we hear from White House correspondent Terrence Smith.
President Reagan is spending the weekend at Camp David, where he is planning to use his weekly radio address for another plea for the confirmation of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court. Mr. Reagan spent much of Friday in private arm-twisting sessions with key senators at the White House. But one after another, the victims came out of the Oval Office and pronounced themselves unpersuaded or still undecided. Even Republicans, like Senator Richard Lugar, said the nomination appeared to be in grave jeopardy. But the White House is not giving up, as Chief of Staff Howard Baker explained late yesterday.
Judge Bork is determined to go the distance, and the president is absolutely determined to go the distance and to succeed with this nomination if it's possible to do, and he believes and I believe that it is possible to do.
Privately, officials here recognize that the battle for Bork has become something larger, a full-blown test of wills between Ronald Reagan and the Democrat-controlled Congress. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
This is the first Monday in October, which means the opening of the fall term of the U.S. Supreme Court. Law correspondent Rita Braver reports.
When the Supreme Court opens this morning, attention will focus on the man who isn't there, White House nominee Robert Bork. Lewis Powell, who retired at the end of last year, was considered a swing justice. Powell, for example, usually voted with 5-4 majorities in favor of abortion and against prayer in school. Bork would be expected to vote the other way on both issues. This term, the court is scheduled to decide if a state can force minors to wait 24 hours for an abortion after both parents have been notified, and whether a class that doesn't mention the word prayer but mandates a moment of silence in class violates the separation between church and state. When Bork testified before Congress, he tried to assure critics that he had no political agenda.
I am a jurist who believes his role is to interpret the law and not to make it.
But his opponents have not been convinced, and the battle over who sits in the empty seat on the Supreme Court may rage long into the new session. Rita Braver, CBS News at the Supreme Court.
For the Senate Judiciary Committee, this is showdown day on the Robert Bork Supreme Court nomination, with President Reagan facing a major setback for his dream of influencing high court rulings for the rest of this century. Despite reports that even his aides are now urging him to withdraw the nomination, Mr. Reagan emphatically stuck to his guns this morning as he headed into a meeting with GOP congressional leaders.
Robert Bork is, without question, one of the most qualified candidates for the Supreme Court that we've ever had, and I am going to continue to do everything I can to get him confirmed. And our work is cut out for us, and we have a lot to do before the floor vote. We simply have to work together on this. And that's a pause, and the meeting will start in a short time.
Mr. President, are you saying you are not going to withdraw this nomination until there's a vote on the Senate floor?
I am saying I am not going to withdraw this nomination.
In 4 hours, the Senate Judiciary Committee meets, and correspondent Deborah Potter has the outlook.
It could be the beginning of the end. Of the 14 senators on the Judiciary Committee, 8 already have announced they will vote no on Bork, making it almost certain the nomination will be sent to the Senate floor with a negative recommendation. And Democratic strategists say they now count 53 senators as opposed to Bork, more than enough to kill the nomination outright. Senate Majority Leader Byrd says anyone who thinks this nomination can be saved is dreaming. The White House had been counting on conservative Southern Democrats to tip the balance for Bork, but they've been coming out against him, citing concerns about his record on civil rights. If Alabama Senator Heflin joins the opponents when the committee votes today, that would just about quash any administration hope of swinging Southern votes Bork's way. And it would also increase the pressure on President Reagan to withdraw the nomination. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
Today, as law correspondent Rita Braver reports, the short-handed Supreme Court tackles the divisive school prayer issue.
The court takes up a case from New Jersey, where the state passed a law requiring teachers to permit students to observe a one-minute period of silence to be used solely at the discretion of the individual student for quiet and private contemplation and introspection. If the issue sounds familiar, that's because in 1985, the Supreme Court struck down a one-minute moment of silence law from Alabama. But that one mentioned prayer as an optional way to use the moment. This one doesn't. Nevertheless, a federal appeals court struck down the case, saying the motive of those who pushed for the bill was clearly to allow prayer in public schools. Alan Karcher, a Democratic state legislator, appealed. Karcher believes the court should accept the wording of the law and not be concerned with the history of its passage. This is one of those cases that court watchers think could end up as a 4-4 tie with only 8 justices on the bench. Rita Braver, CBS News, Washington.